Coming up on Tech News Today, now the CEO of Equifax is retiring. Also, Dyson is working on an electric car. Technology and tech workers have an ageism problem, apparently. I've got the Samsung Note 8 in my hands to show off. And Twitter eliminates brevity by doubling the character limit. All that and more coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1861, recorded Tuesday, September 26th, 2017. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/TNT.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is a show where we take out the crystal ball of tech news.
We unwrap it from the new box that it got shipped from Amazon in.
Yes. And we look in it.
Uh-huh.
And then we share with you what's next.
That's true.
I'm Megan Maroney.
I'm Jason Howell. How big is the crystal ball that we're talking about here? Is like it like standard issue, like a regulation size crystal ball? Okay, good.
Standard crystal ball. Yeah, like you said, the one, the Amazon's choice.
Good, good. Shipped Prime. Only had to wait 2 days for it. Perfect.
The CEO of Equifax is retiring, effective immediately. Richard Smith is the latest executive of the hacked credit reporting giant to step down nearly a month after the company announced that a hack exposed the personal information of 143 million people. Board member Mark Fiedler will take his place as the non-executive chairman, and Paulino de Regos Barros will be interim CEO. So yes, retiring is the word that they chose, maybe kicked out, don't let the door hit you on the way out sort of thing. You know, so much has come out even after the breach, the fact that the company had been aware of the breach since March and didn't say anything, the way they created websites for people to enter their personal information that may or may not have been secure. Equifax has to testify to Congress on October 3rd. And Smith is going to stay on for 90 days without pay while he helps with the transition.
Yeah. You know what? He was there since 2005. It was a good run. It was a good long time at the head of this company.
That's how old Twit is.
It's too bad that it ended the way it did. Is it? Was it 2005 for Twit? That's right. Okay. It was right. I knew it was around there anyways. So, you know, Twit, Equifax, someone's maybe doing a little bit better right now, I suppose, or at least having a better year. He's going to provide reasonable assistance to Equifax over the course of the next 3 months, like you said, without pay, going to help in. But it kind of doesn't matter, the without pay part. He's still going to get $18.4 million in pension and benefits for retirement. That is unchanged. Maybe that's part of why he's retiring and not being pushed out.
And
that,
you know,
change that anyways.
One thing I read was about when, you know, you make no mistake about it, there are hackers, there are people that are have this information already, our personal information, and they're just kind of dividing it up and trying to figure out what to do with it, who to sell it to, and they are going to look probably for the most wealthy people in order to take their money, probably you know, by zip code or something. They'll be dividing up all, since they have so much of it, you know, why not? If you have everyone's zip code, why not sort it through the best zip codes, like that of Richard Smith? So,
yes. Apparently, he is still scheduled to testify before the Senate Banking Committee next week. So even though he's not heading the company still, I think there's still a lot of information, a lot of discovery to kind of come to terms with in the public space. So this isn't necessarily going away for him, but it is a good signifier of the company moving beyond and hopefully kind of going in a different direction. Who knows how long it's going to take for them to replace the interim CEO and find someone permanent, but there you go. Could your next car be a Dyson? the household appliances company known for its expensive vacuums and touchless public bathroom hand dryers, is apparently working on an electric vehicle to launch publicly by 2020. James Dyson, who's the founder of the company, wrote an email to his employees revealing the plan that is already underway. They've employed a team of 400 people to get the motor running, so to speak. Sorry. $2 billion investment into the development. They're manufacturing it almost entirely in-house. The exception would be for parts where they would work with suppliers like tires and that sort of stuff. But there you go. New entrant into, it really feels to a certain degree like the automotive industry in this move to electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles. It's almost kind of has a democratizing effect. We've been so used for so long to the same names producing vehicles. And now companies that produce vacuums are also getting in on electric vehicles. Hey, everybody can do it. Why not you?
So they had the robot. They've had a robotic vacuum cleaner since 2014 with a 360-degree camera. Back in 2014, they did that. So it seems like maybe that was a testing ground for the electric car. Start with vacuum cleaner, and they've actually been working on mitigating, the impacts of driving for a long time. In the 90s, Dyson began to work on cyclone style filter that could trap diesel exhaust particles.
Oh,
so yeah, it's who isn't developing an electric car? We're done with John Denver ER, we should start up with a electric car.
Once we begin with John Denver and then end with John Denver.
Yeah.
The next thing will be our own electric car. The electric car-roni? No.
Oh, that leaves you out, but...
We could work this out. All we need is a good name.
The company,
John Denver has taught us anything, all we need is a good name.
The company can be called Electric Car-roni, and maybe the first... model will be called the Howl.
Okay, I think we need to fine-tune this idea, but I like where it's headed. And apparently there were a lot of clues that Dyson might be moving in this direction. They recently hired high-profile executives from Aston Martin. It's also the former Tesla VP of Global Communications, Ricardo Reyes, who's now the head of Dyson's Global Communications division. So there's at least a little bit of overlap. They've also created a 517-acre campus. They announced that last February that you can imagine is probably going to be put to some really good use if they're testing their own in-house developed vehicles. Okay. All right. So Burke's taking this a step further. He's hashing it out. He says, John Den VR to EV, VR EV. It's like connecting the dots. I think I understand. I'm willing to go there with you. You can be a partner. Burke? You can be our global communications division.
I think it was his idea. He's our management consultant.
Okay. That works.
I mean, he is and always will be.
All right. 15%.
Right. Well, the three of us have
You're right. 15%, Bart.
The three of us would do good to go out on our own if we need to, because according to a study by a human resource analytics software company, women and men both struggle equally to get jobs in tech when they're old. And by old, I mean over 40. And rest assured, men still have the advantage in tech managerial roles during the childbearing years for women. Vizier Incorporated says the average tech worker is 38 years old compared to the average non-tech worker, who is 43 years old. And this, they say, is a result of systematic ageism in tech hiring practices. The study says this is harmful to companies because people over 40 enter the tech sage age. That's the tech sage, and that wisdom
that
and
sounds
experience,
good though
that's good it's good so that wisdom and experience make them more valuable overall, even though they're less likely to be hired. So people hire tech sages like us.
So if you're that age and you already have a job, you're stoked because you're valued. But if you're that age and suddenly you don't have a job, then you're not very happy because all the youngins are taking up the jobs, even though you've got a lot to offer. You're a sage, as it were.
As many of the problems with hiring practices, as we've talked about before, it's just implicit bias. People mm-hmm. assume you're 41 years old, you're not going to be able to work late nights, you're not going to be able to come in on the weekends.
Right.
And, you know, there's this thing that I can't ever point out, but I'll say anyway, because it's sort of reverse sexism. But, you know, I say, like, I'm done having my kids. Like, don't, you know, I'm not going to go on maternity leave, like those kinds of things. Those would never be things that I would want a hiring manager to hire me for, because I would want to be seen equally as a woman who was before her childbearing age, or a father who mm-hmm. was going to need to be around as well. But it's true that there's a lot of wisdom and experience to be had in the elder years.
the aged elder years of 40 years old. Yeah, I think that's the hardest part for me is when you, as you get older, you start reading articles or hearing about how, air quotes, older people are not as hireable as younger people. And then you realize that the older people are actually your age.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. So I've kind of reached that point. Just keep that in mind, kids. But I mean, I think the comparison and part of this kind of lies in the fact that when you look at technology companies and largely how the really big technology companies, especially Google, Facebook, how they set up their job and their campus, you know, they create this huge campus that offers pretty much everything you possibly need, to the point to where you have no real reason other than living a normal life to go home, right? You have every modern convenience that you need there. They feed you, they do your laundry, they actually have on-site, you know, childcare in many cases. But ultimately, that kind of a lifestyle, buying into that type of a lifestyle, is inherently, I feel like, something that the younger generation of workers is okay with.
It's a young man's game, you say.
Well, I mean, when you're 20 or, you know, 20 to 30 in that age group, you kind of, I don't know, you have less to come home to, let's say. And that's a broad generalization. I realize this entirely, but I think there's some truth to that, right? Like, as you get older, if you have families, you have more of a reason to take a step away from work and be like, no, look, I need my normal life. When you're younger, you're working to succeed a little bit more, right? And so you're willing to kind of put a pause on all that other stuff and live at work, because they make it possible for you to live at work and spend your time there. And as an employer, I think you look at workers like that and you're like, man, these people are willing to do whatever it takes, whatever we need them to do. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. But from an employer's standpoint, they're getting something out of them that they may not be getting out of an older worker.
Well, I would argue that that is a problem with the way we look at work. And,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
And the workplace, because I don't think no one has proven to me that that kind of I'm going to, you know, stay up all night. I'm going to eat pizza and, you know, drink Red Bull and, you know, not and work for, you know, 80 hours a week, that that's necessarily good for anyone,
no,
whether
right.
you're 20 or whether you're 45. Like, I mean, if you. People say, oh, yeah, and we should be able to go home to our families. But everyone, whether you have children or not, should be able to have a well-rounded life. You know, maybe you don't have children to take care of, but you have parents to take care of. Or maybe you just want to relax and not think about work and not check email at 10 p.m. You know, everyone should be able to do that. And work is changing so much. I mean, mm-hmm. We talk about automation and losing jobs. But I mean, the nature of work will really change. And so I think this is something interesting, and people are healthier longer. People, you know, 40 is the new 30, all of that jazz. So I mm-hmm. think, I think hiring managers should really take this into consideration because it's not doing them any favors by not hiring people like us who can come up with amazing ideas like John Denver EV.
We are seasoned in our ideas like John Denver. Well, I mean, yeah, part of this falls on the hiring managers if they are in fact opting for younger workers over older workers for that very reason. Part of it also falls on the workers themselves. And that's not necessarily a bad choice, right? Everybody has a different idea of what a good work-life balance is. And for some people, their life is their work and they're perfectly fine with it. So they're perfectly fine giving 80 hours a week to their job because that's their life at that point. And they feel that putting in a lot of work now may pay off later. You know what I mean? So you can't really fault them for that either. They are so dedicated to their job that they're willing to do that. And an employer is going to see that and think that's pretty darn awesome.
Right. But I mean, if they really are, and then what about everybody else? You know, if that's the expectation. And I think that is
that's the challenge.
That's the expectation with like paternity leave, for example. Like lots of places have paternity leave, but at lots of places it is not okay to take it.
Yeah.
You know, because like, oh, we have this, but oh yeah, do you see Joe over there in accounting? He took his paternity leave. You know, it's like that still is the culture here. And I think I hope that that changes.
Yeah. And this report did point out that this is like it draws the comparison between the tech industry versus other industries. And in other industries, kind of that age, you know, raises. In the tech industry, it's like somewhere around late 30s or something like that. In other industries, it's like 45. Mm-hmm. So tech is skewing younger as far as the study is concerned.
Yeah, and user 21952 says, if you love your work, should you be banned from it? Absolutely not. I love my job, but I still have to keep myself from like looking at Twitter and thinking about, you know, people we might interview. And, you know, just I could spread it out into 24 hours a day. And I like, this is personal, but I really have to at some point stop, turn it off, say, oh, maybe I should read a book or talk to my children or something.
But that works for you.
Yeah, that's
And that
me.
Works
that's
for me. Sure. There are a lot of people that just don't care. There's I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe that hits a breaking point and somewhere down the line they realize like, wow, what happened to the last 20 years? I've been working like crazy. You know, what do I, you know, yay, I've got a great, you know, great prestigious position, but everything else in my life sucks. Who knows? But everybody has a different intention and a different approach to this type of stuff. It's how they're hiring, how they're judging that inside at the company that I think is really interesting. If they're skewing their hiring practices younger for whatever reason, they're missing out on, like you said, kind of the tech sage with the gray dashes of hair on the side. It's hard. I hope to be a tech sage someday.
We should come up with a new show called Tech Sages.
We'll work on that. In the meantime, Atari may not be the video game behemoth that they were back in the 80s, but they have a new console up their sleeve. We've talked about it before. And they're releasing even more details. The Atari Box is expected to hit Indiegogo for its crowdfunding campaign sometime this fall for a springtime release next year. It'll be running Linux underneath. It has an AMD processor inside, and it's going to launch with a catalog of Atari's classic games. The Linux install will ensure that the Atari Box can play modern games too, so you get things like Minecraft and Terraria, among others. Am I saying that right? That's a game I've never played before, but I know it's all the rage with the kids. Terraria. Anyways.
It's called Minecraft.
The other Minecraft. But if you thought this would be priced like other nostalgia consoles like the NES Mini, think again. The Atari Box is shooting for a launch price of around $250 to $300, which is crazy, especially when you consider that like there are versions of modern consoles, like the high-end modern consoles that cost that much. Yet this really seems like a nostalgia type console computer thing, although they're kind of approaching this from the perspective of Linux is an operating system that you can get in and tinker with, so we're going to give you the ability to make this an open box and make it what you want it to be.
Yeah, I think they have to figure out, is it like something to put on your bookshelf, or is it something you're going to actually play with all the time? Is it a collector's item or is it a real gaming box? Mm-hmm. It sounds like it has the power of like a mid-range PC. So you could, you could all, they already sold, I mean, not Atari. There are Atari bot, like the retro Atari thing that Patrick has. It's really just, just a thing to put on your bookshelf.
A bunch of Atari 2600 games that fit into a tiny box, and it's not, you know, probably not worth the time. Indiegogo console, says Burke, equals lame/fail. You don't think Indiegogo is the way to go for a console like this, Burke? Okay. Burke says it's not a very confident move to take it to Indiegogo on Atari's part.
Well,
yeah,
I think
I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
But although a lot of companies do use these services for extra marketing, but take that for what you will.
I think it's a little bit thirsty that they keep like sending out this coming soon. And then it's like, you know, 3 months ago they sent out pictures that mock-ups of it. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like, these aren't mock-ups, they're real pictures. And our campaign will come out soon and then you'll be able to get it next year. And I think that is, they're obviously really trying to build up the excitement And yeah, maybe it'll be great and maybe it will be horrible.
Because it's Atari's name. They know that the name has retro affinity. A lot of old school, you know, I mean, I love the design of the console, I have to say. Like, it's very reminiscent of the early kind of 2600 era style consoles that you found under the TVs back then. So I kind of like the look of it. But, I mean, that cost for a retro console is pretty high. You know, maybe it ends up being the kind of thing where you buy this and you can install all sorts of emulators on it and turn it into like your ultimate TV attached console for emulation and stuff. Maybe then, but even then, like, that's still pretty expensive to do that compared to a lot of other options that you have nowadays. And they also say it's going to be multi-purpose, so you could use it for movie streaming, music streaming. I mean, it's Linux, so you could really install any Linux apps on it. But there you go. Who knows? Maybe we'll get one in at TWIT when it launches. Coming up, I got a special delivery. It's in a box. We'll take a first look, at least on this show, at the Samsung Galaxy Note 8. I'm very curious to open this up. I haven't taken the phone out. I've set it up, but I haven't taken it out, if that makes sense. We'll talk all about that. But first, let's take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage, the sponsor of this episode. The mortgage experience, if you've ever gone through this whole experience, you know it's there's a lot of speed bumps along the way. Not the easiest thing in the world. There's a lot of information that you have to pull in. You have to collect all this stuff, and you know it might be in a million different places. It just wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution to make the whole process easier, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. Just one simple button and boom, your accounts import in. It's great. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, your assets, your credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/TNT. That's rocketmortgage.com/TNT. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. There I was, minding my own business, when all of a sudden the eagerly anticipated Samsung Note 8 appeared before my very eyes. I have it here in a box. It's in a box. And I realized I ordered this on Samsung's site like early, way early. And yet I only just now got it. It makes me wonder because I know a lot of people like Leo got this like more than a week ago. He ordered it about the same time. Russell got it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm really not quite sure why it took so long to hit my desk, but I've been waiting for it. We've talked about it a lot on the show, so we thought we would kind of open it up and take a look. And most of all, Megan, I just want to see if it impresses you.
Okay.
This is Samsung's next big thing right here. This is the Galaxy Note 8. I was incredibly impressed with the Note 7 until it started exploding on people. So here it is. See, and I've even got the enjoyable taking off the plastic.
It's so tall and moments. Thin.
I know. It is really nice. It's very thin. That's a really good point. Slender. Like compared to this is the Galaxy or the Chrome Pixel.
Or try my phone. See what it looks like here. Next to the iPhone 8. You can show those. They're not private.
Sorry. Apparently, my phone updated while it was in the box, so I apologize about that.
Interesting. Taller than the iPhone 8.
Yeah, so it's taller, and, you know, the iPhone 8 is definitely a little wider. A lot of people are saying that you've got no bezels on the sides. That's the infinity display, as you can see there. The top and the bottom, very limited bezel. I wish I had the iPhone 10 so I could show that and see. You know, you can imagine a little notch right there. But here you go, Snapdragon 835 inside, 6 gigs of RAM. This is the 64 gig storage option for the Note. Here, I'll give you your phone back
because
holding two is kind of difficult.
Break it.
I don't ever break phones. Don't worry about
that's
that.
Not the truth.
6.3 inch infinity display. The S Pen. So I want to see if the S Pen. I haven't taken it out yet. It's down here. if I take it out and I just start drawing. So even on the lock screen, I can pull the S Pen out and start drawing, which is really nice. And I think you can save up to 100 of these, right? You just pop it out as you're going right on the screen, and you can save those notes without ever having to unlock your phone, which I'm going to say is probably a really nice use of the S Pen. Does it fit in there backwards?
Oh. I thought they fixed that.
Nope, it doesn't. But I can go ahead and write more notes on the screen. Pretty cool stuff. It does live translation of text. So if I'm in notes and everything, although I'm having a hard time getting out of this little user interface here. Let me see here.
Did you put the pen back in order to make the user interface go?
There we go. Now I'm out to the user screen. So if I had some text on here, I could highlight it and, you know, hovering over, you kind of see, I don't know if you can see that little dot.
I see the dot.
So when your pen is not completely on the screen, you get some extra features and stuff by tapping. Dang it. Yeah, it does.
Does it have some Samsung?
About like a half an inch.
Does it have some bloatware on there?
Probably, I'm guessing. It's been installing some of my apps in the background, so you'll see a lot of apps on there. Sorry, I've got that tilted weird. But you've got a whole folder of Samsung apps, and it gave me a whole menu right when I was logging in to say, you know, do you want to activate all of this? It made it really easy if you want to get in on Samsung's, you know, on all of Samsung's apps to just activate them all. I did not do that. But there, you know, there are actually some good stuff, some good things in here. Samsung Pay, for one, if you've never used Android Pay or Apple Pay as well, Samsung Pay works on a lot more different terminals because it's basically using something called magnetic secure transmission. So it's actually beaming through this transmission into a way that the majority of these credit card receivers can accept without needing extra kind of compatibility built into the system like Android Pay or like Apple Pay. So, and it's works really well. So you can go into places that they don't normally take automate, you know, like electronic payments, and you can use this and it will still, you know, work just like it does with everything else. So that's really cool. That is the Note 8. It's,
well, Zephyr,
actually feels really nice.
Zephyr in the chat room says, personally, I like some bezel. I think I like some bezel too. I don't know if that's just because I my phone has bezels and yours doesn't. But I do think, like, because I hold my, you know, my fingers like this. And then you're like in the, you know, do you ever find your fingers getting in the way?
You mean like interfering on the side?
Yeah.
Like as I'm holding the device, like I'm doing it right now. I'm kind of being over eager with my fingers to see what it'll do. The edge panels, I was able to get it to trigger that way. I didn't really notice this to be as much of an issue as I think I expected it to be. On earlier versions, when they started doing the edge, it was really responsive. Like, it didn't know how to reject. And I think they've gotten really good at kind of doing some of the palm rejection on the side and stuff, really doing testing about the fact that it really does suck if suddenly, you know, you're just holding your phone like normal and things start firing off and you don't know how it happened. So I think they've done some work to kind of prevent against that. Like, I can, if I really try, I can get it to do things on the side, but and I'm sure it's going to happen randomly every once in a while, but they've done a good job of rejecting that.
One exciting thing is now we can share a charger. We've never been able to do that before.
I don't know how this is going to work. Here, I'm just going to set it on the table here.
Okay, watch,
because we don't have a close-up
magic
for this. Let's see. We haven't tried this yet. Wireless charging.
Did you see the green light? There's the green light. Did you see that?
Hey, there it goes.
And then it also charges mine.
Wow. We can share chargers.
Yeah, I mean, not at the same time, but I get to say, charging. Don't bogart the charger, Jason.
Here, you can have your charger back.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, enjoy your charger. Well, have you been using wireless charging for a little while now?
Well,
what do you think?
Since Friday? Yes, yeah. I love it.
Yeah?
I haven't had to put it directly on the charger or anything like that. This one's great. $13.
You just set it on there. It's really hard to mess it up on setting it on there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what I did mess up, though? Because I have the Kinu car mount, which I love, but works with a magnet.
Uh-huh.
And guess what doesn't work with a magnet? Wireless charging.
Oh,
so the magnet's
okay.
Inside my case, and then I magnet it to the Kinu car mount, but then I realized that the wireless charging doesn't go through the magnet, and I made the mistake of really attaching. No, that would be ugly. You put it on the inside of the case, but I can't peel it off. But I'm going to have to because it will charge through the case, but not with this magnet on here. But I put it on my nice new leather case. So don't make that mistake if you use a magnet car mount.
So, but you're going to have to remove it. Are you then going to put it on the outside, or are you just not going to use it at all?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Any answers? How do you, because I've tried so many car mounts, and I hate the car mounts that clip like this because they never fit. I like the magnets, and I think maybe if I move the magnet, there'll be a place. These are serious problems. Ooh. This is not an ideal situation.
I can understand. Also, I've read a lot of kind of reviews or comparisons between the Note 8 camera and what you have on the 8 Plus. How have you felt about the camera so far?
I love it. And I did iOS today with Serenity Caldwell, and she showed me about the amazing videos that you can take too, 4K videos and just amazing stuff. So yeah, I love the portrait mode as we showed that off. It's just so great. I really feel like I have a professional grade camera that I can slip in my back pocket.
Yeah, I mean, side by sides, like this has a great camera in there, but it seems like side by sides, a lot of people are kind of doing the shootouts and they're siding more with the iPhone 8 over the Note 8, although low light performance tends to be better on the Note 8 than it is on the iPhone 8. And I think part of the reason for that is the optical image stabilization that Samsung actually has that built into both of the rear facing cameras on the Note 8. So both of those cameras are super stabilized. You get into a low light environment, you're able to, you know, that stabilization is going to allow for a clearer picture in that regard. So I think it's maybe a little bit stronger in that position. I'm definitely eager to test that out, but sounds like overwhelmingly the iPhone 8 Plus is just a little bit better, a little bit more vibrant, a little bit brighter in comparison. You can see on the right side, this is the Note 8, and it's just a little bit more washed out when it comes to colors. Versus the left side, which is the iPhone 8 Plus. So, I'm curious to play around with it. I'm like flush with phones right now. Suddenly, like it was a dry spell, and now I've got the Jelly, the really tiny phone, which is a good antidote to the Note. You got both extremes here, basically.
Did you put your SIM card in that little Jelly?
Yeah, I've been using this as my phone for like the past 5 days now. And I feel a little ridiculous when I'm at the grocery store and I pull this out to like check something. I'm like,
you're like, I think you brought your daughter's fake phone to the grocery store.
It has also become my daughter's fake phone. Uh-huh. When they find it laying out, they think so that it's cute. A cool phone to play with. But all my phones end up as their kind of playthings. So that's no surprise. But yeah, it is kind of interesting to kind of compare and contrast the wide differences between the smallest 4G phone and one of the larger phones on the market as well right now. But there you go, the Note 8. I will definitely be playing around with it. And I don't know, if I have more shots or thoughts, I'll share them with you. Definitely be sharing those on All About Android to more extent as the weeks progress. But I'm eager to take a look. Did you want to hold it real quick? Just because, you know, you get a phone into your hands.
It does feel good.
It feels a little different.
It's definitely lighter. Well, I don't know, actually. It does. I hate to say it feels good in the hand, but ooh.
And it's got a lot to say. Apparently.
My S Pen is too far away.
That's
rude.
Dang. There.
Well, that's good to know that it
alerts you that you're leaving your S Pen.
Yeah.
No S Pen left behind.
Yes, exactly.
Right on. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, we got some feedback on episode 8. Martin R. from Titans writes, on episode 1860, Jason showed a shelf with $4 Guitar Hero controllers. Well, there is a use for that. I'm sure that Father Robert can mix one with an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi to make music or control stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Maybe you guys should do that on a know-how.
That sounds like a great know-how idea. I don't know how possible that is, but I'm sure there are plenty of people who have tried to do something like that. Have it like randomize with every click, randomize a new song, little accompaniment up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can totally do that.
Cost $4. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. TNT's fan of the day is Vincent, who sent us this picture saying this is how he watches TNT. I'm guessing based on what we see here, it's a little dark in the background, but he's fitting TNT in between extended PlayStation VR sessions. He's got his little mount on the side for the VR controller and visor and all that kind of stuff. So good on you. I think the next step is to watch TNT in PlayStation VR. See if you can figure that out. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup. You can post it on Instagram, Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT and we'll go and find it.
Hold on to your pencil erasers, friends. Twitter is testing a new and expanded character limit, doubling the amount of letters and spaces that you can type from 140 to 280. The company claims it's about different languages and how some, like English, require more characters to get the point across. For example, only 4% of Japanese tweets use up the whole 140 characters, whereas 9% of tweets in English use the whole 140. Personally, I think one of the biggest problems with Twitter is that when people use it to discuss really complicated political issues with lots of gray areas, and even 280 characters are not going to help at all with that. Twitter in their blog post says they understand you might have an emotional attachment to 140 characters. And man, Twitter blew up with arguments and taking sides about this afternoon. Which side are you on? 280 or team 280 or team 140?
Oh man, I'm so mixed on this because I feel like 140 really forces you to be succinct and really choose your words wisely. At the same time, myself included, but people got really good at like omitting vowels and, you know, inserting symbols, like figuring out how
the
they can. Yes, exactly. You get to the end and you realize you're five characters over, and then you spend the next 2 minutes like editing it down. Remove a character here, turn that into a symbol, turn that into an emoji. So it's nice, I suppose, to not have to do that. At the same time, I feel like it's probably going to be the exact same thing that happens, like when, like if you get a pay raise or whatever, and instead of like maintaining what you were doing. You know, a lot of people don't maintain what they're doing. Instead, their spending increases to match the pay raise. It's like you will always, or storage of stuff. It's like you get more storage space, you fill it with more stuff. I think it's probably going to be the same thing here. We're going to still run into the same issues. It's just our tweets are going to be twice as long.
I believe that is called nature abhors a vacuum.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we'll naturally just spit out more characters.
Right, yeah. Fill up the allotted space as much as we can. Maybe it'll cut down on Twitter threads.
Yeah. See, okay, look, here's Jack's tweet about this. And
oh, boy.
It doesn't look right. It's just too much to read.
It's more like, that's it. Yeah, once you see it like this, it ends up feeling more like a paragraph than it does like a thought or a little succinct blurb.
Right. Yeah, he says, this is a small change, but a big move for us. 140 was an arbitrary choice based on the 160 characters SMS limit. Proud of how thoughtful the team has been in solving a real problem people have when trying to tweet and at the same time maintaining our brevity, speed, and essence. Uh-uh. That was not brief.
That took a long time.
And essence-y. I don't like it. And he still had to shorten proud of how thoughtful. Like, who's proud? You? Me? I don't know.
That's true. We need more information, but you're going to have to expand even once more. Yeah, I don't know. You know, but at the same time, like 6 months from now, are we going to care?
No.
It's just going to be the way that it is. Is it going to cut down on the amount of tweeting that's going to hit our timeline? Probably not. It's just going to mean that you read less, right? Because you only have an X amount of time to read Twitter. Or does it mean that we use Twitter more because we're busy reading the same amount of people's tweets that we used to, but now there's twice as much information in them?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I don't think my life's ready for that. This is actually a bigger change than I think Jack thinks it is.
Well, I mean, I do think that, like I said, it's a bigger problem. Like, you know, over the weekend, there were all the NFL tweets and, you know, is this racist? Is it not racist? And it's just like, to me, like, I feel strongly on this issue, but there's no way all my feelings could be expressed about sports and history and, you know, the president in 140 characters, nor could they be expressed in 280 characters, nor maybe should they be, you know, why does anyone care what I think on Twitter about this subject? And so it was good. Like, okay, great. If I'm not going to take the time to, you know, write 500 or 1,000 words on it, maybe I don't have to express my opinion.
How about we get a setting where we can determine what our max is? So we can set our own maximum and we can keep it at 140, and that forces us to be brief if that's what we want.
Right, because people are so good at deciding what they need.
And people would never like hit the end of the sentence and have like 5 or 10 more thoughts that they want to attach to it and go, well, I guess I got to go into settings and open it up And, you know, that's exactly what would happen. People wouldn't hold themselves to it. It'd be nice to have the option, though. Mm-hmm. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. You'll be part of the show by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter, at TechNewsTodayTV.
Subscribe to our show. That is how that's how you can support us, by just subscribing. It's free, 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 free. twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me, use up all your characters. Use them all up. I'm at Megan Maroney.
You're going to use up all of Megan's time in the process.
I mean, it's good for me because my Twitter handle is rather long. Mm-hmm. It uses up a lot of characters.
That's true. That will be nice, right? Like using names or links or whatever, you'll be able to fit more. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. I don't care how long the thing is you send to me. I will read it. Sure. Thanks to Kevin, our technical director and editor of the day. Thanks to Burke for helping out here in the studio. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.